T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Now, I do want to be clear. Whitney Houston is not the artist of the day. She's not.
I think I know what is the artist of the day.
The Rock and Roll Hall.
Well, never mind. You already said.
Sorry, buddy. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2020. Yeah.
Nominees.
The nominees. And they, by the way, have to all be from the 80s today. So we did pull only 4 from the 80s. Whitney Houston, believe it or not, is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She was nominated again, I believe. This was not her first time being nominated. Which is weird to me because I think Michael Jackson and Prince and Springsteen, all those cats, got in on their first one.
Yeah, she fits the ticket to be in there.
Yeah, she's one of the big 5 from the 80s. How she didn't get in on the first time.
Now, is this the first time your favorite band has been nominated?
By the way, I don't know if anybody knows this. Thin Lizzy was also nominated today for the first time ever.
So it is the first time.
We're not playing any Thin Lizzy today. They didn't have any big hits in the 80s.
Okay.
Or at all.
I love me some Whitney Houston.
Boys Are Back in Town was a big hit.
Yeah, but that was a 70s record, wasn't it?
1976.
That's what I thought.
So, we're not playing anything, Lizzie. There will be a little Judas Priest later on this afternoon because Judas Priest was also nominated.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Along with Motorhead.
Oh, no.
Can we just first ballot these cats, please?
Okay. I'm a little surprised that Whitney Houston wasn't in.
Actually, yeah, let's first ballot them so we never have to hear them on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees day again. Just get it over with.
What's the key word? Hang on.
I don't know.
Let me do this here real quick. Program is the keyword to cash this hour. Text that into 72881. You're in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash. The keyword this hour is program. P-R-O-G-R-A-M. Sorry.
Message and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive.
Program, you know.
Well, it gets particularly confusing because some people pronounce that word program.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, yes. Certain people from, say, south of the Mason-Dixon line have pronounced it as such
program.
Before. Program.
Program.
That's right. But it is P-R-O-G-R-A-M.
Program.
Right. Is program spelled with an I? Program?
No, it's spelled with a U.
Like pilgrim?
You know, the other word that a lot of people mispronounce are like the days of the week. Instead of Monday or Tuesday, they'll say Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Tuesday. Thursday. Friday. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Especially
rural people.
Yes.
It's Monday.
Country people do that.
Yeah. You mean those people from Missouri?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Pretty much south of I-44 is where you're going to find that, right? Have we pretty much determined that when it comes to Missouri, the dividing line between what is and is not the south is I-44?
Or if you're running for political office.
Well, yeah.
Every politician pronounces it. Like Kit Bond.
I'm in Missouri.
Yeah, Kit Bond.
Like, that's so funny because that's not how you say it.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Not how you say it when you're on the floor of the Senate. But
Well, if you note, they split the difference. They do it both ways.
Like, yeah. Depends on where that adds Aaron.
Well, Jay Nixon would, in his speeches or anytime he was doing really anything at the state level, you know, if he was here, he was almost constantly flipping back and forth between Missouri and Missouri.
All right, so what do you want to lead with? We do
have an update.
We have Fort Worth.
That we have to talk about because that was in the 2 o'clock hour yesterday.
T-Bone's got a new owner.
Yeah.
A quarter of college women say they have been sexually assaulted.
That should scare the hell out of everyone listening.
I don't want to do it now because I know they did it at midday, but the worst fake ID in the history of bad fake IDs.
We will talk about that later today because there are so many different things we can talk about when it comes to the fake ID or the joke ID.
Also, we have a really good, heartwarming story today of a college football player who changed his name to honor someone.
Aww.
Like legally changed his name to honor someone in his life.
We have a funeral joke coming up later today that we'll talk about, but I don't want to give that away. And if you don't think funeral and funny can go hand in hand, you are wrong.
Well, yeah, we put the fun in funeral.
First three letters are fun.
That's right. And my dad, who is a funeral director, says that routinely about his office.
Update on the story out of Fort Worth. Fort Worth's police chief reiterated today that a white officer's killing of a black woman in her home was inexcusable. As an arrest warrant was released, quoting the victim's 8-year-old nephew as saying that she did point a gun at a bedroom window after hearing suspicious noises outside. Chief Ed Krause said 28-year-old, help me out.
It's a hard A.
Tatiana.
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 Sorry, I don't mean any disrespect.
No, you're good.
Chief Ed Krause said 28-year-old Tatiana Jefferson behaved as any Texas homeowner would do if he or she heard a noise outside. Also, the arrest warrant, by the way, it was at 2:30 in the morning. Also, the arrest warrant gave no indication that Officer Aaron Dean would have even been able to see the weapon. Police body cam video showed Officer Dean making his way around the side of the house into the backyard in the darkness and opening fire literally a split second after shouting at Jefferson to show her hands. He did not identify himself as a police officer.
I don't think this changes a thing.
In the arrest warrant, Jefferson's nephew, he was 8 or is 8, said that his aunt pulled a gun from her purse and pointed it at a bedroom window.
As many people would at 2 in the morning.
Dean is charged with murder, $200,000.
When there is someone lurking outside of your house. Yep.
Who has not identified themselves as police.
That's right.
The whole thing scares me to death. And I know we talked a little bit about the welfare check yesterday. And I've spoken to some police officer friends of mine since who have said every protocol was broken here. The way this was handled for a welfare check, every protocol was broken because of the inherent danger of a welfare check when the homeowner, if everything is fine, has no idea you as a police officer are coming. That is inherently dangerous for any police officer going around the side of a house when the homeowner inside at 2 in the morning or any time, quite frankly, doesn't know you are there, who you are, or why you are there, which is why they always announce their presence.
Now, Tatiana Jefferson was awake. So was her 8-year-old nephew. It was 2:30 in the morning, and it was a weekend, so, you know, I don't think that's unusual necessarily. She's 28 years old or was 28 years old. I can guarantee you that if I was awake at 2:30 in the morning, and keep in mind the officer was walking around the house
with a flashlight.
With a flashlight. That's very important. If somebody was walking around my house shining a flashlight in the windows, the first place I'm going is to my gun safe.
Yes. Which should scare the hell out of everyone. Because the officer doesn't know who you are.
He has not identified himself
you
as an officer of the law.
You don't know what they're doing outside. I mean, this scenario scares me for police, and it scares me for the homeowner.
Sure. 576-7798. The officer has been charged today with murder. With murder. Now, do I think he's going to prison for the rest of his life? No.
I think he'll go for 15 to 20.
I think he'll get 15 to 20.
And I do it'll
be second-degree murder.
Scott, I do not think a homeowner with a gun changes a thing, let alone in Texas.
576-7798. 576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Worst song ever recorded.
Run away, I've got to get away from the pain.
Now, whenever you say that, are you specifically talking about this version of the song?
Any version of this song, but particularly this one.
So even the original one, you're not on board with.
I don't even know about it. Soft Cell's song, whatever, Tainted Love, is the worst song ever recorded. Without question.
Wow.
I'd rather listen to Yoko Ono.
Someone just wrote in on the text line, I think the charge of murder is a little steep for the incident in Texas. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not defending the officer whatsoever. But murder generally has premeditation and an intent to kill someone.
That's not true, actually, but I'll...
This was just an incredibly incompetent person who made an absolutely horrible, reckless decision. I'm not up on Texas law, but I would think manslaughter would probably apply more here. Signed, Paul.
Yeah, we actually went over this whenever there was the DPD officer shooting case. This is one of those things where it's different because it's Texas. In Texas, manslaughter is used to describe what we commonly refer to as involuntary manslaughter. Voluntary manslaughter, what we know to be around here, is charged as murder there. What you and I consider murder is capital murder in Texas.
See, here's where I think this officer is not going to prison for the rest of his life, although I would caution the police chief to try not to taint the jury pool yet. I mean, things like the mayor offering an apology, the police chief saying I would fire him if he hadn't quit. You got to be a little bit careful where that case is getting moved, because you're tainting a potential jury pool with your comments about this case. Now, that's not me defending this officer and what he did. What I'm saying is, to the texter, murder does not always require premeditation. Murder, at least in the state of Kansas, first-degree murder is premeditated murder. Second-degree murder is not premeditated.
Yeah, I didn't mean to, but it still happened.
Or I meant to, but it was spur of the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I caught him cheating on my wife. Well, that one might be a little bit different. But I saw him stealing from my house. I chased him out into the yard and into the street and shot him. That's not going to be first-degree murder. That'll be second-degree murder. Because when you pulled into the driveway, you didn't intend to kill somebody.
The police chief said the gun found in her room made sense if she was alarmed to hear someone walking around outside of her bedroom window.
And flashing a flashlight through their window,
Now, he did say the officers apparently believed they were responding to a, quote, open structure call, which could have meant the home was broken into. Or as I said to my son today, it could have meant the door was just open.
I leave my door open sometimes.
Rather than a welfare call where they check to make sure people in the home are safe. The chief became emotional when he said other officers in the department are hurting, but supported the quick action in this case. And if you're just now getting in your car and joining us and saying, what is this all about? They have charged the officer with murder who fired into the bedroom window, killing that woman in her own home a couple days ago. However, they came out today and said she, because she heard noises outside and probably saw the flashlight, did grab her gun. Now, I, again, don't think that changes the outcome here.
I don't either, although I think if it lessens anything for the officer charged, even though, by all appearances, allegedly, he screwed up three ways to Sunday, okay, you might get a juror or two who say, well, yeah, he screwed up. He should have announced that he was police. He waited less than a second before he fired after screaming, show me your hands. However, she did have a gun.
But in Texas, having a gun's not against everyone. The law. I'm curious, and I would love to hear from our police officers.
No, not everyone in Texas.
Even anonymously, I'd love to hear from our police officers. With all of your training, does this change the, quote, welfare check call? Because if I was a police officer in the middle of the night walking around a house and you don't know what's going on inside that house, if anything, this is the story that scares me to death, because you can so easily understand how it happened. This officer didn't wake up in the morning thinking he was going to kill an innocent woman in her own home, and she didn't wake up that morning thinking there was going to be a misunderstanding that would lead to her death.
Let's go to Dave in Lewisburg, 576-7798. Dave, hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you today?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you, my friend.
Good. Well, I'm a police officer, and I'll say first on welfare checks, I would go to the front door. If somebody called and said, hey, you need to check on this person, I'd go check on the person. So I don't know the extent to the call, but I had something similar to that happen to me. We were doing a vacation house watch, and the people were supposed to be gone. It was late at night, and I walked up, and through the kitchen window, there's a male in the house, and he takes off running towards the front. He runs out the front door, and I had him at gunpoint at the front door. Well, he was a homeowner, came home early. So, I mean, those things occur.
Why was he running, though, Dave?
He saw me. He told me he thought I was breaking into his house. He was coming out. And so he was protecting his own house. So
what is the difference, Dave, for you? Because someone says this on the text line. If it's no longer a welfare check and it was dispatched as an open building check, like the front door was open, does that change the way you do things?
No. Yesterday I had an open door. We did things the same way we always do. We go to the door and we announce ourselves, police department, and we yell it so people can hear us. Because what we don't want is have a homeowner there startled.
Right.
And get hurt.
Does it change, very quickly, because we got to get to the news, does it change your opinion that it was at 2:30 in the morning?
No, because we would do the same thing.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you for the straight answer.
Real quick, are people afraid to talk about her color? I'm going to say this.
She was black.
I'm going to say this. If he could not see the weapon, he could not have known she was black or white. I'm not saying this is about race or isn't. It adds fuel to a fire that's already burning bright. But I am not convinced he would have known through that window her color. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I stand my ground. Won't be turned. Be late, but he's still great. That's Tom Petty right there, man. We're going to move on here in just a moment, but Jim at Topeka has been real patient, so we're going to get him in real fast. Jim, what up, man?
I'm going to agree with 80 to 90% of what you guys are saying went wrong. And it's only that last 10% and the last few milliseconds that leaves us in doubt. And may none of us ever get in that point to where we have only milliseconds to decide to live or die.
Amen.
And when you've been in that place, you kind of understand how things can go wrong. The 1% is, what was the neighborhood like and how was the police calls in the area before that that could have set up some of this other stuff? Number two, whenever you are dispatched out, you have to go out and assess the situation as you come up. Assess what it is and how to act. But it all boils down to all the different things that went wrong led to those last few milliseconds of life or death. And he lived and she didn't, and it could have been the other way around very easily. And it's a terrible thing to face.
And let me ask, Jim, let me ask you this, because you bring up a good point. Had it gone the other way, so that this woman is in her house, she sees someone outside with a flashlight looking in. Maybe she sees his gun. Maybe she doesn't. She shoots through the window and kills him. What conversation would we be having about that today? Would she be charged?
We'd be having a stand your ground conversation.
Not if he's outside the house.
I don't know, Scott. Would a reasonable person feel afraid with a flashlight coming in, beaming in at you?
Most stand your ground laws do not include outside the house.
Jim, you bring up an interesting question, because this could have very easily gone the other way.
Well, but Jim, I'm going to disagree with you on one thing, and you brought up the neighborhood. A, let me be very clear. We don't know what kind of neighborhood this was. Was this a middle-class neighborhood? Was it a crime-ridden neighborhood? Was it upper-class? We just don't know.
Does it matter?
And here's...
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Jim. Explain that, and then I want to probably have a retort.
Okay. If it's not a crime-ridden neighborhood, you're going to, if it walks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's a duck. Meaning that this could have been an innocent deal and the rest of it. When you're going in another area to where that things go wrong repeatedly, You need to prepare yourself for those things going wrong.
But Jim, let me challenge you on that one a little bit. That doesn't mean that you don't follow the same protocol that you would follow somewhere else per se, i.e. announcing that you are the police, knocking on a door. That doesn't mean that just because somebody lives in a crime-ridden neighborhood, and we don't know that she did, that doesn't mean that she's a criminal. I have rented houses east of downtown in my previous life, worst decision I ever made. But some of the neighbors, I remember Betty next door, was one of the nicest human beings I could ever meet. She wasn't involved in crime.
This is that 1% or less of information that went wrong that led to these bad things happening in those final milliseconds. And it's things that we will question and doubt forever.
But just because you live in a crime-ridden neighborhood doesn't mean you don't get the same common courtesy.
Well, and just because you live in a nice neighborhood doesn't mean bad things don't happen. Right, I mean, Scott, someone took me to task on the text line yesterday for saying I live in some...
And we don't know that she lived in a crime-ridden neighborhood. Let's be clear about
that. For saying I lived in some alternative universe...
I saw that one.
Because the Leawood Police Department was doing knock checks when people were leaving their garage doors open. And I went on to explain they were doing those checks because we had a rash of car thefts. Like, they were just coming in, taking the whole damn car. I had someone around the street from us lost two cars because they left the fobs in the car. They left the purse in the car. They leave that side garage door open. Burglars go in, steal both cars.
Sure.
So during that summer, when all that was going on, if you left your garage door open, you were getting a knock in the middle of the night. And I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, close your garage door. It didn't happen to me, but it happened to a couple of neighbors of mine. And you start to see when you hear about this story in Texas where a misunderstanding over something simple like that can and does happen.
But the difference between what you're describing in Leawood and what didn't occur in Fort Worth was the knock on the door. That, if I'm not mistaken, police officer friends and listeners, that's standard, for the most part, on a welfare check, standard protocol.
Well, here is a police officer, and he just wrote in, okay? He said, let me go to the beginning of it. I am a police officer in the metro area. At that hour of the morning, seeing a front door open, I would be checking around the exterior of the house prior to knocking on the door, and here is why. Are there TVs and electronics stacked up on the back deck like someone is stealing things? Can I see through a window that there's somebody rummaging around inside with a flashlight? Can I see through an open window that someone's shoving a bunch of stuff in a duffel bag? At that hour in the morning, it could very well be a burglary. Again, I'm not defending the officer involved here, but it could be the mindset of why they were doing what they were doing.
Well, if the officer was following what is department policy, why is everyone in that department not only coming out against him, but he's been charged with murder? I have, other than that text that you just read, Dana, I have yet to hear one single person say that's exactly how we do it.
Well, we had a police officer call in yesterday and say, this is why you announce. You announce.
Police.
Police, we are here.
For
your own safety as a police officer.
Sure.
So that the homeowner who's inside and 70 years old and freaking out and grabbing his gun doesn't kill you.
And accidentally didn't close the door all the way when they came home. But then again, I remind you, while yes, an open door is a little bit suspect at 2:30 in the morning, it's not against the law to keep your door open. God knows I do during the day sometimes, but I tell you right now, if somebody had knocked on my door at 2:30 in the morning and didn't announce who they were, guess where I'm going? To the floor.
What are you thinking if you're the neighbor that made this call? Non-emergency call to police. You made the call that set off a chain of events that no one could foresee how this would
end. They've addressed this, and in fact, the mayor and the police chief actually spoke to him through the news conference saying, you have done nothing wrong. You were concerned about your neighbor. You called the non-emergency line. You reported a door open at 2:30 in the morning in your neighborhood. You have done nothing wrong. Now, do I think that he thinks he did nothing wrong? No. I think he is rattled with guilt.
That person has actually, as much said so publicly, said if I had the opportunity to do it again, I would not make that phone call knowing what transpired.
Of course.
But if you know that he couldn't anticipate what
was going to happen.
But Scott, if you know that your neighbor's out of town, and that was a good example that the police officer called about earlier, you know that your neighbor's out of town, and at 2 a.m. you see that door wide open, that's a little bit different than just the random open door, which could be something bad, or it could just be an open door. It could just be an open door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on cool fall nights when I'm letting the dog in and out, I leave my back porch door cracked. That's just an open door.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Somebody is screaming, which is to read all caps on the text line. Somebody is screaming, it was not a welfare check.
Then why is he charged? And you're right. They have clarified that this was an open structure call. They knew that when they charged him with murder yesterday.
But we don't know what the person who called in said it was. I'd like for you to check on my next door neighbor's house. The door is open. Now, that goes to the dispatcher. What does the dispatcher say to the police officer? Open structure?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Fine. But there's no obvious yet suggestion that there is a crime. If the police officer acted properly, texter who's yelling at me, and stop yelling at me, why is everyone, including the police chief, openly condemning, and I don't think that's fair, by the way, I want to be clear, openly condemning this police officer, saying that everything he did was wrong, which concerns me in regards to tainting the jury, saying that if the police officer had not resigned, he would fire him. Also concerning to me, by the way, to say that publicly. Why is everyone condemning this police officer if what he did was right and safe? Why did they not announce they were the police? Hell, I've ridden with a group of police officers here in town years ago that are affectionately known on the streets as the Kick-Ins. Because they kick in your door.
Wow.
That's why they're called the Kick-Ins.
Is that in Casey Moe?
Yes, or? Kansas City, Missouri.
I think they all do it from time to time.
Well, yes. Yeah, but I didn't know where they had the club known as the Kick-Ins.
When duty calls.
Yeah.
But I remember when I did that story in 2005, 2006, and I rode with the Kick-Ins, when they went up to the door with that gigantic battering ram, moments before they battered down your door, they screamed, police, we're coming in. Police, we're coming in. Boom, there goes your door. Bye-bye.
Time for a new door frame. And probably
and a
door.
A new door. Because the door you just had now has a large hole in it. Because they used a battering ram on it. But even then, going into some of the most dangerous houses in Kansas City,
police.
They announced who they were before they came in. 5776779. Promised you a good news story this afternoon. This one is from, I believe it's CBS News. Yeah. Football players are usually seen as tough and gruff, but one college athlete's sideline surprise is melting hearts across the United States. In a viral video produced by the school's football program at Samford University, the player says, and I quote in the video, "My name is formerly known as George Grimwade, but now it's George Grimwade Musto." In the video, the name Grimwade on the back of his jersey is stripped off, and the name Musto is then sewn on. The player goes on to say, I decided to change my last name because my stepdad, which sounds weird calling him my stepdad because he's always really been my dad, he doesn't have anyone to carry on his last name. And he raised me ever since I was in second grade. And I feel like I owe it to him to carry on his last name when I hopefully have children. He looks into the camera, Musto does, and says, I love you so much. And you really do mean the world to me. Without you, I don't know who I am. Nor would I know where I'm at. I'm really happy I get to carry on that last name for you, and I hope I treat it well.
Wow. I have goosebumps.
I put that story aside before I turn into a crying mess.
That is so lovely. So lovely.
You gonna be okay in there?
Yeah, that was just, I hadn't pre-read the story. I saw the headline, but like an idiot, I didn't pre-read the story.
Wow.
And now he's crying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crying. Somebody cut an onion underneath
that's
the desk.
That's right.
In here.
It's allergies, that's it.
It does do a great job, though, to torpedo the theory that this show is scripted, right? Forget the show is scripted. We don't even prepare.
People always, from time to time, I shouldn't say always, will ask us, you know, how do you read all that stuff? And I always laugh and I think, what kind of staff of 50 writers do you think we would have to even make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have to be on task to the point to read what was in front of me.
And on time.
Which is never going to happen.
No.
The on time part, for sure.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, like you've got room to talk.
What?
I love you.
What?
But you roll in at like 1:30 in the afternoon. I know you've got other jobs.
One,
that's fine.
1:45, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, 1:45.
Yeah, that was my deal to stay on the program.
You're damn right it was.
Program,
yeah.
As he said.
I didn't have that deal. I just do that.
Right. Yeah, you don't prepare. But then again, you know, my name's not on the door either.
That's true. That's
I'm going
true, too.
To post this very sweet, heartwarming story.
Oh, my God, I saw the headline.
Because he comes over to the sideline and hugs him. And then if you think you're crying now when he hugs his stepdad who... You know, it's just his dad. It is, yeah, it's a moment.
It's so touching.
It's a moment. And he's crying and the kid is crying.
But the dad's
crying.
I mean.
Now I'm crying.
And the
yeah.
line in it that kills me.
And the wife is crying.
He just had to get that out of the recycle bin, by the way.
Oh, it is just so sweet.
The line that almost made me snap on the air was when he says in the video, I'm really happy I get to carry on that last name for you. And I hope I treat it well.
So he came up with the perfect way to break the news to his parents by showing them the new name on the back of his jersey. They didn't know he had done this, Scott. He ran up to them on the sidelines, took off the helmet, and told his dad how much he loved him. Quote, look at my jersey, he said. Then he explained in that moment that he had legally changed his name, even handing over the official document to prove it. His dad was overwhelmed with emotion and said, quote, you are my son.
That almost makes me feel bad for not having any kids.
Yeah, it's just very, very sweet.
Anyway, with that...
I'm not crying. What are you talking about?
You're crying. I'm not crying.
You're crying.
I'm not crying.
You're crying. I'm not. Keyword to cash this hour is backstage. Text that into 7. You're crying. I'm not. Backstage. Text that into 72881.
That's one word?
Yep. One word. Backstage.
I'll meet you backstage.
No, I'll meet you backstage.
Okay.
As in backstage pass.
Been a while since I've had one of those. I've never looked.
Yeah.
See if that's one word or two.
Read a little bit more closely. You'll see it's all
like
one word.
Like the night you made out with the lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Wait, you made out with the lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket?
I did not, but I love that song, Something's Always Wrong. Can we
Toad the Wet Sprocket had some jams.
God, that's
yeah, they
jam.
Did.
Mm-hmm.
There's a band called Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, my God. You are in timeout. And bring us back with Something's Always
Wrong. You can't.
Wrong.
You can't. It's an 80s day.
80s day.
They were a 90s band.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to make an exception because it's so awesome.
Good Intentions, Walk on the Ocean, oh. All I Want. Oh. Oh, yeah.
All I want is to be with you. Oh, 72881. Backstage is your keyword this hour.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.